We are 11 lines up from the bottom on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We are discussing Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya's approach to the case in Gittin, where a man says to the woman, "This is your get if I do not return within 12 months," and he dies within those 12 months. The machlokas is, the question is it a get or is it not a get? In other words, do we say that the stipulation wasn't fulfilled because he didn't come back in 12 months, and therefore it's not a get? She's considered to be a widower, and she has to do a yibum or chalita to her brother-in-law. Or do we say no? It is a valid get, and she is free to marry anyone she wants, besides for a kohen. So Amar Abaye. Abaye now comes and adds a little more perspective or a little more explanation. Hakol modim, everyone agrees, l'chashtetei chama min artika, l'chinafka kamrla. Everyone agrees that if a man would say to a woman, I'm giving you your get, and this get takes effect when the sun comes out, l'chinafka kamrla, clearly what he means is, when the sun comes out, we're divorced. V'chimayas belayla, and if the husband dies suddenly in his sleep, the night before, get lach or misahu. The get is considered to have taken place after the death, and she's a widower, and she would be required to do yibum or chalitza if she died. He died childless. But al menas shetete chama min artika, and everyone agrees that if the husband gave her a get and said, "This is your get on condition that the sun comes out tomorrow," me'achshav ka'amrla, he's stipulating it from this point. From the evening of the chimayis belalia, and if he dies that night, havare tenahave, the get mechayimhu, the get was given while he was still living, and she's not obligated to do chalitza or yibum. She's now a divorcee. So everyone agrees with that. Kid Rav Huna, based on Rav Huna's teaching, the Rav Huna kola omer almanas ka omer me'achshav. If you say almanas, you make a stipulation that's as if you say from now. So lo nechleku, where do they argue? Lo nechleku ela b'im teitze. The question is about im, and that is the language of the Mishnah which we stated before. Ze giteich im lo basi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi sarver lak Rabbi Yosi da amar zmano shal shtar mochiach alav havela kemei hayom im meisei kemei achshav im meisei. For Rabbanan leislu da Rabbi Yosi havela keze giteich im meisei greida. And that, so what's the machlokas when you say if? The question is, does if mean if from now? Or if when it happens. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda says, if could mean both, but the zman of the shtar is mochiach. So when you have the zman in the shtar, that tells you that the if is me'achshav, that it says, if here's your get, if I don't come back in 12 months, since there's a zman in the get, it means from now, if I don't come back. And therefore, that's Rabbi Yossi's, that's Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya basing his ruling on a different rule of Rabbi Yossi's. But the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, they argue, they don't follow Rabbi Yossi's opinion, and therefore, im just means when it happens. And therefore, since it didn't happen after 12 months, he didn't come back, he died within 6 months, then she is considered a widower and would need to do chalitza or yibam with the brother-in-law. So that is the machlokas again about the story in Gittin. That is what Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya told Rabbi Simloi was his second leniency, and as a result, because that was his second leniency, he refused to give a heter or nullify the gzeira on Pasakum, and as we said before, we still have this gzeira today. The Gemara now goes back to the leniencies of Rabbi Yossi that they called Rabbi Yossi a permissive beis din. It is important to point out that it wasn't Rabbi Yossi's beis din. Yossi ben Yoezer was testifying about these rulings of the beis din. So why was he called Yossi the permissive beis din? That's because Yossi ben Yoezer was the one who was publicizing these leniencies and was praising them, so that's why they connected them to Rabbi Yossi as well. So you don't necessarily need to be the beis din coming out with the rulings. If you're the one that's publicizing them, then you also will get that stigma associated as well. So Gufa, Heidra Yosi ben Yoezer ishtreda al ayal kamsa dechen val mashke beit matbechaya dechen val diagrav lamisa misa v'karla Yosef Sharia. Okay, so that was what we said before. So now the Gemara wants to know, my ayal kamsa, what is this grasshopper, this ayal kamsa, that they're questioning whether it's kosher or not, and Yosi ben Yoezer paskin that it was kosher. Rav Satmachokas, surprising. Rav Papa Amar Shoshiva, Rav Chia Bar Ami Mishmei Du'ula Amar Sosbil. So one said it's a Shoshiva type of grasshopper, and one is a Sosbil type of grasshopper. What does that mean? Rav Papa Amar Shoshiva, V'kamiflagi Barosho Aruch. It's a Shoshiva, that's the definition of an ayal. And the question is about its elongated head. Marsa V'rosho Aruch Asur, Marsa V'rosho Aruch Mutter. Question is, when a grasshopper has an elongated head, is it kosher or not? So we know that there are four types of grasshoppers that are kosher. As Rashi points out, the Arba, Salam, Chargol, and Chagav. Those are the four types of grasshoppers that are kosher. So as long as you have the similarities to these four types of grasshoppers, then it's kosher. So an ayal has all the same qualities as the other four, except it has an elongated head. So does the fact that it has an elongated head disqualify it and make it different, or the fact that it has every other quality, it's permissible or not? So Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, he testified that the Beis Din matred it. And the other opinion, the Rabbanan argued. So that would be the Shoshiva approach. Rav Chia bar Ami mishmei du'ula amar, Sosvil, Berosho Aruch, Kuliyama lo Pligi d'Asr. No, it's a Sosvil, because everyone agrees that when it has an elongated head, it is Asr to eat. So what's the issue then? What's a Sosvil? V'hacha b'chanafav chofinus rubo a'idi hazchak kamiflagi. Here the question is, the fact that the wings of this particular grasshopper, of this Sosvil, barely cover the majority of its body. It does, and one of the qualities necessary is that the wings cover the majority of its body, but if it's only ayde hadchak, it's not discernible to the eye, you have to actually measure it, does that disqualify it from being a kosher grasshopper or not? Mar sava ruba koldu ba'inan, mar sava ruba deminkar ba'inan. So one says, no, you need to have a ruba deminkar, you have to be able to discern it with the naked eye, and the other one says, no, even as long as you have a majority, you can measure it, that's fine, and that would be Yosi ben Yoezer's opinion, that you can measure it, and that was the leniency that he came up with. So that is the first discussion about the leniencies of Yossi's permissive rulings. And now we'll continue with the second leniency. V'amashka beit matbechaya dachan. My dachan. Yosi ben Yoezer testified that the liquids, this mixture of blood and water at the butchering place, which is inside of the Beis HaMikdash, was considered tahor. So my dachan, what does that mean? How far do we take this idea of purity? Rav Amar, dachan mamish. Rav says it's completely tahor. In other words, it itself doesn't cannot contaminate other things to make them tamei. It in of itself inherently it is tahor. Ushmul Amar, dachan milatami acherim avaltumas asman yishben. Says Shmuel, no. Even Yossi, as lenient as he was, he agreed that it had inherent tumah, but if it touched something else, it wouldn't cause that thing tumah. What's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? Again, they're just arguing about what Yossi meant, but now Rav and we have to understand what Rav and Shmuel are arguing about. How can they have this difference of opinion? So the Gemara says as follows. Rav Amar Dachan Mamish Kasavar Tumas Mashkin Derabanan. Rav says the reason why it's completely tahor is because the whole institution that liquids can cause tuma is rabbinic in origin. V'chi gazer Rabanan tuma b'mashkin d'alma. So when did the rabbis create this idea, this concept of tumas mashkin? That's only outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ava b'mashke beit matbechai, about the mashke of the butcher house, which is in the Beis HaMikdash, lo gazer Rabanan, the rabbis didn't want to extend the gezeira, so therefore, not only can it, is it not, does it not cause tuma, in and of itself, it itself is also tahor. Ushmul Amar, dachan milatame acherim, aval tumas asman yesh behen. He says, no, it itself, it's still inherently tame. What's his reasoning behind this? Kasavar tumas mashkin d'oraisa. He was under the impression that tumas mashkin was not a rabbinic enactment. That was an iser d'oraisa, that mashkin, that liquids do create or cause, can become tame, mid d'oraisa. Letame acherim, derabanan. But inherently, it's deraisa that it becomes tame. But to cause others to become tame, to contaminate other things, that's only rabbinic in origin. And when the rabbanan made this gezera that midrabanan, it can cause other items tuma, that's only outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Beit Matbechaya, they didn't extend that gezera. But nevertheless, Yosi ben Yoezer had a permissive ruling that the Mashkin Beit Matbechaya was Tahor, whether it was Tahor Mamish or only Letame Acherim. That's a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, but that whole idea is based on the leniency of the Beis Din, or the ruling that Yosi ben Yoezer was referring to.